And welcome in. It's a special bonus edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. As for the first time, we give you an interview from an earlier edition of this show. We've done earlier editions of other shows from other radio stations and networks in the past, but this is the first time that we've actually gone back into the archives of this show. But we go back to episode 31 today for a reason. And it's in honor of the television show Shameless, wrapping up its 11th season run on Showtime. My friend of almost 30 years, Michael Patrick McGill, I call him McGill, but Mike McGill, his official name on IMDb is Michael Patrick McGill. That's with the Screen Actors Guild. His snarky, beer-swilling, alibi room regular Tommy takes his last drink and hurls his final insult at William H. Macy's Frank Gallagher, as I record this on Sunday morning, takes his final drink at the Alibi Room tonight.
Tommy! Hey, you still got that garage?
Yeah, it kind of comes with the house, Frank.
Great. What say you let me sleep there?
What say I don't?
Why the hell not?
Because the last time you stayed at my place, you shit in my kitchen sink.
The layout of your home is very confusing.
No, Frank. No means no.
Based on an adaptation of a British show with the same name, Shameless tells the story of the Gallagher family of the south side of Chicago. The Gallaghers, Frank, Fiona, Lip, Ian, Debbie, Carl, and Liam. And it also tells the story of everyone that intersects with them. The series is irreverent, to say the least. It's absurd and shocking sometimes, but it's also the longest-running scripted series by 3 years in Showtime history. This Sunday night, it will hold its 11th and final season premiere at 9 o'clock Wisconsin time. I first met Mike McGill at UW Oshkosh, where we were both in the radio TV film department as undergrads. We each had a different emphasis. I was headed into radio, he was headed to Hollywood, our common bond was sports. But every time I'm in LA, we make it a point to get back together and catch up. The day after Thanksgiving, this past week, I caught up with him over the phone.
You know, I'm a traditionalist. I like you know, turkey and ham and stuffing and potatoes and the jellied cranberry loaf. And since it was just me and my wife and my two sons, and of course nobody else in the family likes all that stuff. Nobody will touch ham. The turkey, I like turkey, but I can't eat a 20-pound turkey all by myself. My wife made some lasagna, and we did have some homemade potatoes and gravy, but I was the one who ate most of that. So, but it was good. It was low key, and we watched the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special afterwards. You know, for the complete Thanksgiving experience. I understand you have a tradition at your household that doesn't involve turkey.
The way that I look at it is that if you like turkey so much, you'd have it in March, or you'd have it in June, or you'd have it on a random Saturday night in July, maybe for July 4th, who knows? But nobody likes turkey that much. So it's been crammed down our throats since we were children, and you and I are about the same age. It's been crammed down our throats that you have to have turkey on Thanksgiving, and I think that's nonsense.
Well, believe me, man, I saw pictures of your homemade pizza. It looked delicious, so I'm assuming there are no leftovers. You guys tackled it in one sitting.
There are no leftovers anymore. You know what? Next time you're in town, next time you and Amy and the boys are in town, you swing by, and I will make you one.
It's a date. I'm already circling the calendar. Now if COVID will just let me come home.
Yeah, what is the? I read something yesterday that there's now a lockdown in Los Angeles County. How's that affecting you guys?
Well, right now it's the curfews from 10 p.m. to 5 or 6 a.m. I can barely stay awake to 10 p.m. Right now anyway, so that doesn't affect me so much. But they have discontinued. You were able to dine outdoors if it wasn't like an outdoor patio setting at a restaurant or a bar, and that has been 86th for the time being. So, and I believe, actually, I think Amy was just looking at some of the Safer at Home initiative things that start on Monday. So I'm probably not even up to date. Those are just the ones I know about, but plan on being a homebody for the rest of the year, at least around here.
2 years ago, Shameless became the longest scripted series in Showtime history. Why do you think it's had the staying power that it has?
I think the long and short of it could probably be Bill Macy. I just think the writers and the producers, they've tapped into a vein. I always tell people who haven't seen the show, it lives up to its title. You know, they take full advantage of the fact that they're on Showtime, and you get these scripts and you read them, and they're just so ridiculous. They kind of have a half of a foot in reality, and then half of it is just like, I can't believe they're going to shoot this. And they do, and when you have pros like Bill Macy and the rest of the cast, they can somehow make the unbelievable, they can sell it, and you kind of be like, you know what, normally I wouldn't believe any of this, but somehow I buy it when he's going through it. And they just have the pulse on that kind of blue-collar, south side mentality of the Midwest and Chicago, and people just go for it, and you think, oh my goodness, somebody's gonna be up in arms about this storyline somewhere. But and I'm not an easily offended guy, but there's been times even I've read the scripts and I was like, ooh, that's, they're gonna have a hard one putting that one off. But they do it, and here we are in season 11. So they got the formula down.
I remember when you first booked the show and you put something out on Facebook and you were kind of excited about, you know, the fact that it's a Showtime series. It's starring William H. Macy. It's starring Emmy Rossum. It's got great directors. It's got great writers. You couldn't have had any idea that it would have lasted as long as it had. But yeah, take me back to that first script. When you first read what you were going to be performing on screen and what the actors around you were going to be performing on screen, I mean, what was that first reaction like?
Well, I had the audition. Amy was pregnant with who would have become my older son, Jake, at the time. So he wasn't even born yet. And I auditioned for the first episode after the pilot. So they'd already shot pilot, I think, earlier that spring. And this was probably right around 10 years ago, give or take. At the time, I was probably... maybe September of 2010. And I only had a couple of lines, you know, so I went in and read for it and thought it went well. And they, you know, it said it was going to be a recurring co-star role. Anybody who is an actor in Hollywood will tell you that whenever they dangle the recurring part, you think, oh my goodness, this is going to be great. And then you end up doing one episode and then you're never heard from again. And so, I wasn't trying to take too much stock in it, but I went and did the audition and it felt pretty good. And then a week later, they wanted me to come back in and audition again for it. And I thought, do I really have to, and I was kind of a little bit up on my high horse. Do I really have to come back for, two or three lines? It's not that big of a deal. But in retrospect, I'm glad I ate a piece of humble pie and did go in, because when I did go in the second time, John Wells, who's the executive producer and director and the basically the showrunner of the series, he was at the callback. I think when I originally went into audition for it, since it was set in Chicago, I tried to sip with it up a little bit, put a little Dennis Franz on it and talk, a little bit more with the Chicago accent. But then after I booked it, I thought, you know what? People always say I sound Midwest enough already. So I just, and Emmy Rossum, I know was doing a much better Chicago accent than I could ever pull off. So I thought I'll let the regulars handle the Chicago accent, and I'll just sound Midwest enough to get in the bar and get a belly up to a bar stool.
Do you think it helped you that you're from Wisconsin and had already the Midwest accent? I mean, I think Emmy Rossum's from New York, if I'm not mistaken, and she's playing a Chicagoan.
Yeah, no, I guarantee you that it helped. I mean, John Levy is the casting director of Shameless, and he's kind of a tough office to get into in this town. And for whatever reason, I think I know the reason. Most of John Wells' shows is what he casts, and most of them are set in Chicago. So ER was set in Chicago, and a couple of his other shows. So I always kind of did well when I went in to audition for his shows. I probably had like a 50% booking ratio whenever I would go into his office. So I would look forward to going in and auditioning for John. And another show that John Wells works on right now is a TNT series called Animal Kingdom. And that's California Surfer Dudes. That's a show that I'm not particularly right for. It's probably been on for 5 or 6 seasons now, and I haven't read for it yet because they don't need a big Midwestern sound pasty white guy trolling the beach in San Diego, a beach whale. But
I don't believe that.
Yeah, but for the purposes of, you know, needing some blue collar guys who look and sound like they're from the Midwest, I fit the bill. So
it doesn't always paint Chicago in the best light in the world. Your wife Amy is from Chicago. How does she feel about the depiction of her hometown on your show?
Yeah, she's a big fan of the show. I think she likes it because it's the South Side of Chicago, and the South Side are Chicago White Sox fans, and that's what she is. She's a huge White Sox fan, and so, you know, whenever they rip on the Cubs or pump up the White Sox, I think she particularly gets a charge out of that. And of course, anytime they're talking about the Bears and the Bulls, she's a big Chicago sports fan. So any of that rivalry stuff that favors the Chicago sports teams on the show, she's all for it.
Have you filmed the entire season? Is production wrapped?
No, we're actually, I just filmed episode 7. We do 12 episode seasons, so this is our last season, and we're continuing to shoot season 7 this week and next week, and then we begin episode 8, and Shanoa is actually directing episode 8, who plays V on the show, so that's exciting for her and for us. We're on the back half of the last season. I think we'll probably be done shooting sometime in mid to late February.
How has COVID affected the way that the show is shot, as far as, you know, what you have to go through on set, what you have to go through? I mean, you guys are all in very close proximity. How has that all changed?
Well, the big change, I'd say the biggest change, is all the interior stuff has always been done on sound stages at Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank. But the production would go 2 times a year, a week at a clip, to Chicago to shoot exterior scenes, you know, on the outside of the Gallagher House, or, you know, they want to catch Wrigley Field or the Sears Tower in the background. But this season, no trips to Chicago. And quite honestly, in the 11 seasons of the show, I went to Chicago once, because, you know, I'm usually always at the bar, which is always a sound stage. In season 3, they broke me out to help Frank dig up. He was like trying to dig up his aunt's bones in the backyard.
Good denizens of Cook County, I have a proposition.
What the fuck is it now, Frank?
Do you remember the holdup of that jewelry store on South Ashland 92?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Bastards cleaned out these poor spicks of every piece of crap that they had. That was my mother. She did the heist. And I think she buried the crap in my backyard.
How do you know that?
Well, she stashed it somewhere, and then she forgot where. So, the other day, I was planting some basil. I've recently gotten back into gardening, and I found this.
Shit, is that gold?
Could be. Pretty dirty. Got to get it appraised. The point being, this is only the tip of the golden iceberg. Now, I can't dig it all up by myself, so I will give a sizable cut to anyone who helps me unearth it. So who's with me?
Fuck it, why not?
So, I remember that one.
I got a chance. And actually, I bought a ticket, plane ticket for Amy, and Jake was not even 2, so we all made a little family trip of it.
Jesus. Mother Christ, it stinks. There's so much shit in the yard.
Shut up. Keep digging. The one-armed wonder's making more progress than you.
That's the only time I was at Chicago, was in Chicago for, you know, for work. But, yeah, no Chicago. They built facsimiles of the houses. I'm not sure if they're on the lot, or they have to be on the lot. Yeah, they're probably somewhere on the back lot, but. That was news to me. I wasn't aware of that until a couple of episodes in this season, that they weren't going to Chicago at all. The other big thing for me is getting COVID tests 3 times a week whenever you're getting ready to shoot. So usually if I'm working that day, I will get a nasal swab first thing in the morning after we check in, and, you know, they're rapid tests. Luckily, so far, nobody's pulled me aside and said, hey, we need to talk. But I guess starting next week now, because the COVID numbers are spiking in the holidays, I think they're going to start testing us every day. So it just means I have to run over to Warner Brothers and get a Q-tip up each nostril for about 10 to 20 seconds, and then they send me on my merry way. But any time we're not shooting, like if it's between cut and the next action, our masks are on, and you know, no bear hugs for Shanoa, no high fives for Bill or Steve or Jim Hoffmaster, who plays Kermit. and we all just kind of have to watch it. We do elbow bumps and, you know, that kind of thing. But so it's a little bit different, but I think we're all trying to do our best because we all, of course, want to work and put out some new product for you guys.
Last couple of minutes with actor Michael Patrick McGill from the TV show Shameless. He plays Tommy as they get set to launch their final season coming up on, what is it, Sunday, December 6th? Am I correct in that?
Yes, you are correct. And I just realized, and I forgot to mention that, if you do have Showtime, and I know a lot of people have kind of caught on to the show since it's landed on Netflix, but if you do have Showtime, they are rerunning the first 10 seasons, a season each day. It's marathons. So if you really want to hunker down and either get a refresher course or get indoctrinated, just throw on Showtime at some point over the next week and a half, and chances are we'll be up there.
Do you have a favorite season?
It's tough to say. I mean, I actually remember really liking season 9, which was Emmy's last season. I'd say, you know, season 5 was kind of nice for me because that's when I got to break out of that bar and Lip came to work for me at the construction site and I got a little more to do.
So here's what you're going to do. You're going to lift these large pieces of concrete, put them in the bucket of the Bobcat, and you'll get some more while the Bobcat dumps them in the Lolo.
I get to work the Bobcat?
Okay. You're going to lift with your hands the large pieces of concrete and put them in the bucket of the Bobcat, just like these assholes who don't speak English are doing. Then you're going to move out of the way while the Bobcat, which has a licensed operator who is me and not you, dumps them in the Lolo. Then you're going to do it again for 8 hours. You're going to stop after 8 hours because I'm not paying your college ass overtime. You think you can handle that?
I think I'll manage.
All right. Amanda, huh? Nice tatas. Why don't you give me the phone?
Why would I do that?
Phones are a hazard on the work site. You're not going to sue me for workman's comp because you're distracted by a titty shot when a brick comes flying at your head.
Bricks are flying at my head now?
This ain't the alibi, bitch. You work for me, you do what I say. All right, andale, andale, arriba!
Yeah, it's tough, you know, because actually I probably should watch these marathons to kind of refresh my memory. But I do remember a couple seasons ago, Dan Loria came on. He was Mo White. Frank was his campaign manager. And turned out he backed the wrong horse, but I like that character and I like that sequence of episodes. That was fun. I mean, this season's pretty fun too, but I mean, hey, I'm just happy to work. I like all the seasons, but you know, those are the ones that stick out in my mind when you just said that, but I'm sure I could go back and be like, oh, I like that episode. And that was, you know, a random episode from season 3 or something. But yeah. No, it's been fun. It's been nice because, you know, like the first few seasons, I mainly worked with Bill and Steve Howie, who plays Kev, the bartender over at the Alibi Room. But as the seasons have progressed, then they started bringing Chanel in to the bar, and they started kind of pairing me and Jim Hoffmaster, who plays Kermit, a lot into the bar. And then in those middle seasons, we had Svetlana, played by Isadora. Gorester was great. And, you know, there's been more characters kind of in and out of the Alibi Room to interact with, which has been nice. We had Noel Fisher, who plays Mickey Milkovich, come in a few times. And I've gotten to work with Jeremy, who plays Lip, who's a fantastic actor.
What brings you here, college boy?
Why can't you get the details about the job?
Man, what job's that? Hey, get college a beer here, will you, V?
Demoing, you still doing that?
Yep, about to start a big cleanup. They knocked over Sunny Days on Halstead this morning.
Great, I'm in.
So, yeah, it's been nice. You know, the real treat is just getting a front row seat to watch Bill play Frank Gallagher. I mean, the character is such a rascal. And, you know, you read the scripts and you already know what he's going to say, but because Bill's such a pro and his delivery and timing are spot on, you know, you're having a hard time not breaking character and laughing anyways. So it's a really good role for him. I know he's won, and rightfully so, a handful of SAG awards for the role. I don't know if he's ever won an Emmy, and how Emmy Ross has never won an Emmy for her performance is something I'll never quite understand. But it really, really solid actors on the show.
A lot of fans want to know whether or not Emmy's going to come back for a final bow before the season is over.
I would love to know. I would love to know that as well.
But, okay. And if you did, you couldn't now, tell me. And if you told me, you'd have to kill me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, luckily, I don't know anything. I think people say, oh, man, you're like a series regular on that show. And Trust me, dude. I'm not in the inner circle. I'm not even in the outer circle. I get the script and I show up the days I'm supposed to work. And I would assume that they've reached out to her to see if there's any interest. I would guess that she would be amenable to coming back. You know, they left the door open for her to come back, but who knows? Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to work with her all that much over the course of her tenure on Shameless because, you know, she'd come into the bar every once in a while, but usually would be interacting, you know, over by the pool table or, you know, we didn't have a lot of direct interaction, a couple episodes, and she directed a few episodes as well. So that was nice. But I know she's kind of moved on to producing and directing her own stuff with her husband, Sam, who's the creator of Mr. Robot and Homecoming at Amazon Prime show. But I would think, and I know actually she's doing a new show for the Peacock and the NBC streaming network Peacock, Angeline, the kind of infamous, she's a Hollywood staple, a gal in a pink Corvette who drives around town, and she's chesty like Morgana, the kissing bandit, and she has billboards all over town, and so I think that'll probably be a fun role for her, but I'm guessing, I think they wrapped that already, I'm not sure, but I would guess if she's available, she'll be out here, but if they do that, I don't think they're going to tell anybody. You know, they're going to keep it hush-hush and under wraps.
As they probably should. Because, yeah, the first
in this day and age, it's so hard to keep a secret, right? Like, if one person leaks it out on Twitter or something, and then it's over. So
I'm looking forward to the beginning of season 11. I'm not looking forward to it being over. But again, as you said, on Showtime, you can binge a season a day. We would definitely encourage you to do that. And I love the show, but it's trippy to see my buddy play a role in that show as well. It's just an added bonus for me, but it's fun for me. It's fun for my wife, Erica. We love you guys. You know that. Continued success out in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for the time here on the show, and can't wait to do this again. Can't wait to see you in person when COVID will allow it.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Doug. Always a pleasure.
It's been a great run. It's been a lot of fun. And while I'll miss new episodes of Shameless, I mean, they've done 11 seasons, so it's one of the most addictive, binge-worthy shows ever made. My interview with the Alibi Room's Tommy Michael Patrick McGill from early December. Enjoy Shameless tonight. Hope you enjoyed this bonus edition of the show. Hope you enjoyed our look back. And we'll see you next time right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.